אתם עם SBS בעברית. לעוד סיפורים מעניינים, כנסו ל-sbs.com.au.
Shalom, Australia. Very sadly, last Friday, Holocaust survivor from Sydney, Lottie Weiss, passed away aged 97, handing the responsibility of sharing her story to future generations, now to others. On countless occasions, she told her remarkable story of survival and lessons in drawing meaning from adversity with school children and adults alike for many, many years as a guide at the Sydney Jewish Museum. Since her passing, Lottie's son Johnny has been inundated with messages from those who were fortunate to have met his mother. Everybody wanted to be in her orbit, he said. She didn't have to say anything. Lottie just touched them through a kind of magic. Her presence and words helped to lift people to a more optimistic outlook on life. She was unpretentious. She was just herself. Such was Lottie's radiant aura that Johnny's wife, Tia, created a series of striking artworks documenting Lottie's story, as articulated in the survivor's autobiography called My Two Lives. Tia said, Lottie remains in people's homes and in people's hearts. Someone who loves Lottie can keep these artworks and tell her story. Lottie was born in Bratislava, Czechoslovakia, and she was deported to Auschwitz in 1942, where her parents and five siblings were murdered before being transported to Birkenau and then to Terezinstadt. As a founding member of the Sydney Jewish Museum, Lottie, who had two sons, Johnny and Gary, with her late husband Ali, and she is survived by six grandchildren and eight great-grandchildren. Painting a glowing flower of Lottie is one of the greatest Jewish legends of our times. Central Synagogue's Rabbi Levi Wolf shared in his eulogy, everyone was lifted by her love of life, gratitude for what she had. She inspired thousands of people with her spirit and lessons of losing life and rebuilding it.
She is a remarkable lady. I was fortunate to meet her a few times, and I was very impressed with her, and I always admired her courage after going through hell to rebuild her life. And I know she moved to New Zealand and then from New Zealand to Australia and raised a beautiful family and did a lot for the Jewish community in Australia. And we are talking to Shane Desiatnik, senior journalist at the Australian Jewish News, and you are listening to SBS Australian Jewish Update. Shane, the latest on Sydney Beit Din and the New South Wales Jewish Board of Deputies.
Yes, there's been some progress. Representatives from the New South Wales Jewish Board of Deputies and the Sydney Beit Din met earlier this month to forge a way forward following the release of the Jewish Board of Deputies Working Group report into the Beit Din's operations. The Sydney Beit Din had expressed disappointment upon the report's release back on February the 3rd, but in a joint statement this week, the parties said the discussions now are amicable and very positive. A joint statement said the Jewish Board of Deputies, the Working Party and the Sydney Beit Din acknowledged that the Sydney Beit Din had already implemented a number of reforms and had taken steps to implement others that the report ultimately recommended. And in particular, the statement said attention had already been given to ensuring all financial members were dealt with by the administrative arm of the Sydney Beit Din independently of the Dayanim, ensuring clerical and administrative functions of the Sydney Beit Din are not under the direct management of the Dayanim unless it pertains to certain halachic requirements. The parties agreed to hold further meetings, with the first to occur shortly after Passover. The report was the main topic of discussion at the meeting on Tuesday night, at which President Leslie Berger made special mention of the presence of communal member Reuven Baruch. In 2017, of course, the Sydney Beit Din's Dayanim were found to be in contempt of court for the handling of a dispute involving Baruch, And that judgment was the impetus for the formation of the working group.
Talking about Jewish communities, there is a lot going on in the Jewish Community Council of Victoria. There is tension there. Why?
That's right. Tensions flared last week at the first plenum of the year of the Jewish Community Council of Victoria over the sudden departure of Dr. Andre Obola after his brief presidency late last year. At the plenum, three former presidents of the Jewish Community Council of Victoria became involved in verbal clashes, and a call was made for greater budgetary oversight of the community security group in Victoria. Acting President Frank Greenstein was strongly criticised for omitting any mention of the Obola controversy in his president's report. And Dr. Philip Bliss, a former president, told the meeting, "After the upheaval that's gone on over the last couple of months, I'm slightly shocked that there's no reference to Andre, why he had to leave, and the whole background to oversight with the communal security group." Executive Council of Australian Jewry Life member Sam Salkman added that Greenstein's report lacked balance and, to my mind, lacks any credibility. But Greenstein, formerly a vice president of the organisation, who became acting president after Obola's departure on December 28, after just 6 weeks as president, counted back. He said a media release was sent out in December. Andre resigned as president after taking on a new international position, and an amicable agreement was reached with Andre. The Jewish Community Council of Victoria has moved forward with a highly motivating professional executive. And there were further clashes during the meeting. In the end, Professor Andrew Marcus, who was meant to be the special guest, was able to actually deliver his speech about the landmark Gen 17 Jewish Community Survey. So it was a very heated meeting.
Well, I'm sure we'll still hear about it in the future. And you are listening to SBS, Australian Jewish Update, with Chandi Ziatnik, senior journalist at the Australian Jewish News, and Nitza Lowenstein. Shane, we haven't got much time, but before we go, despite COVID, the Simcha must go on.
Yeah, this is a lovely, lovely story. It involves two couples. The first one, Sydney's Carly Coonan and Melbourne's Justin Bulbier, got engaged in 2019, and they didn't want a long engagement. But then they also didn't know a pandemic was around the corner, forced to cancel their big day 2 weeks prior to their April wedding last year in Melbourne. They were met by the same disheartening fate with the imminent Victorian five-day lockdown last Friday. Just 2 days before their nuptials, postponing again just wasn't an option because of the mental anxiety of it all, said Carly. So the wedding was suddenly moved forward to just last Friday afternoon instead, and miraculously they pulled it off. Meanwhile, there was a similar story for Melbourne's Michelle Schmerling and Sydney's Daniel Hornung, who had also been set to wed on Sunday, just last Sunday, after postponing their chuppah from November last year. And following a 10 a.m. tip-off on Friday, last Friday, that lockdown was very likely, Michelle called her mother, Lee, in tears. Lee recalled, "I immediately knew that the wedding would go ahead and nothing was going to stop it." So in the end, it took place again on Friday, just before the lockdown began.
Mazel tov to the two families. Shandy Ziatnik, senior journalist at the Australian Jewish News. Thank you so much and have a great week.
רוצים לשמוע עוד סיפורים? האזינו דרך האפל פודקאסט, גוגל פודקאסט, ספוטיפיי, או בכל מקום אחר בו ניתן להאזין לפודקאסטים.